We discussed yesterday the question of mekach u'memkar. And the Gemara says that if the mocher received payment from one of the two bali dinim, and everything I'm saying now is before the re, notice this is Rashi and Tosfos before the re, then the mocher should be believed to tell us who paid him the funds, who paid him the money for this object. And that's called, in the language of the Gemara, lechse zuze b'man nokat. Let's ask the mocher, who paid him the money? Why does the Mishnah say shnayim ochsim v'talis yachloku? And Rashi says that the Gemara's answer is the only way out. And that is that he took money from both of them in such a way that he's no longer believed to identify which one actually is the rightful owner of this talis. One he sold him midaito, one balkarcho. They left his presence. He's no longer hold on to the thing. And the Rashi has this whole psychological principle that we can't believe. Tosfos cannot tolerate this pshat of Rashi because Tosfos has a different girsa in the Gemara than Rashi. And according to Tosfos' girsa, he would be believed because Tosfos' girsa is lo yada, meaning he doesn't remember. But if he would remember, he would be believed. So Tosfos therefore says that the Gemara's kasha was not about yachloku, but rather the Gemara's kasha was focused on the shvuah. Why is it that the Mishnah paskins that each one of these two bali dinim who are holding on to the talis has to take a shvuah? We have a principle called eda misayeh, which means that if an aid testifies against someone, that person is chayav shvuah d'oraisa. If the aid testifies on behalf of one of the two litigants, then that person who would normally, under normal circumstances, would be chayav shvuah is no longer chayav shvuah. Why? Because he has one aid, one witness to support his claim. Now we get to the re. So if you're looking inside the Gemara, on Daf Beis Amid Beis, the end of Tosfos Dibri HaMaskil V'Lechzei Zuzi V'Man Nokat, the re says that the Gemara never meant to ask the mocher. The mocher is out of the picture. What the Gemara meant to do was to ask the lokhim. Why? Because the re operates with the following premise. And that is that none of these two litigants, not Reuven or Shimon, would lie about who gave the money. Why? Because that would be outright gzela. And the Gemara is now operating within the framework of what's called horas heter. Right? I mean, that's why the shvuah is meaningful. It would not be meaningful if there was outright gzela. So let's read the re inside. The re mefarish, the nishalahem mimi kibel hamocher mos. The bali dinim themselves are going to spill the beans and tell us which one of them, whether it's Reuven or Shimon, actually delivered the money to the mocher. She'enanu choshtim osan l'shaker b'zeh. That's not an issue. Lomar nasati v'lo nasa. And that would be outright gzela to say that the mocher is holding on to my money and I never gave the money in truth. That's not the parameter. Those are not the... That, you're going beyond the parameters. And therefore, once they both admit, meaning even Shimon admits that it was Reuven who gave the money to the mocher, at that point we have another principle. And that is that if the mocher received payment from one of the two lokhim, then we assume that lemi shenisratze hamocher. That's the Gemara's underlying question here. The premise of the kasha is, why do you say yachloku? There's no reason to say yachloku. As long as we can clarify that one of them, we'll call him Reuven, gave the money, and Shimon, by his own admission, did not give the money to the mocher, then we assume that, and we don't need the mocher to tell us this, that the mechira, the clinching of the mechira, the validity of the mechira was for Reuven because he gave the money. And that's called ritzui. That's called Das Makne. The Das Makne in this case is clearly on behalf of the of that lokeach. We call him Ruvain, who delivered the money to the Mocher. And that's called the Sinas Hamos.
That's the Rishpremes. Rishpremes is that Shimon didn't give the money. He wouldn't lie that he didn't give the money.
He wouldn't lie and say that he did give the money.
But he is accepting that Shimon would be willing to grab the object after Ruvain already took possession of it.
That's based on Oros Heter. What's Oros Heter? Number one, we're going to split the talus. He, Ruvain, is going to get half the talus, meaning half the value of the talus. And in addition, he'll get a refund on his money. And it's not a tirch of him to go down the block and buy another talus. That was this whole psychology.
That's why Shimon's willing to be a gun?
Well, again, it's a different kind of a gneva. It's a gneva with a small g and not a big g. Because it's a Ross head there. You know, Vasarti, you go down the block, you'll buy it. You're not losing a penny on the deal because we're gonna split the talus. And that's a Ross head there. But to put his hand into someone's pocket and take out his money, or in this case, to deny... to claim that he gave money when he didn't give money, that's an outright...
Why would Ruvain get any money back if only Ruvain gave money to the Mocher? Where's money coming back from who?
Well, again, it depends what you're talking about. You're talking about the Havmin of the Gemara or the Maskon?
I'm talking about what the Reed just said. I can trust this.
So we're going back to the Havmin.
He gave the money, which means he didn't give the money. Only one person gave the money.
Right. Only one person gave the money.
But they're all holding on to it.
Shimon admits that he didn't pay the money.
Then where's Ruvain coming at whole? Ruvain's losing half the talus, if you say Yechok. And Shimon's a gun. If he took half the talus, enough.
Shimon is claiming that he's willing to pay for the talus, and that the mocher, we'll call Levi, had das makna to sell him the talus. So what's going to happen now? Two people gave money for the talus. Again, at this point, we don't know that two people gave, because only one person gave, right? That's the underlying assumption of the Gemara. But Shimon is willing to pay for the talus. He's not a gada. He's a knapper gada. Why? Because that talus was already sold, but he's going to claim, no, it wasn't sold. It was sold to me. And here's the money. I'm paying the money for this talus.
He's paying the money to go
away. Right. So the Gemara answers name, that both of them gave the most. And that's going to justify the psak of Yachluk. Okay, Rabbosai, now let's talk about Sumchas. The Gemara says the following. Lema masnisin delo kisumchus. Shall we assume that our mishnah of Yachloku b'shmua is against Sumchus? Why? The Omar, because Sumchus holds Momen amutal b'sofek cholkim b'lo shmua. Now let's try to understand. The Rabbanon assume that any case of Sofek is a doubt. If it's a doubt, we don't know who deserves this Mamon. We have to do our maximum to try to clarify the Sofek. And therefore we need a Birur. We have no Birur. There are no Edim. The only thing that we can fall back on is a Shvur. So the Rabbanon have this institution called Maman Amuta B'Sofek Cholkim B'Shvur. Sumchus rejects it. Sumchus understands that if we have a clear-cut indication that this Maman belongs to one of these two people, again, I'm not talking about Tahu Arva, where a third person could come by and say, well, it's my Sfina, so that's Lekel Lemekam Alodim, that's called Ikel Lemekam Alodim. But in a case where clearly Machlev Parat B'Chamor, we know that the Vlad belongs either to the Bala Chamor or to the Bala Para, in such a case, Sumcha says Yachloku, but it's a different kind of Yachloku. It's not a Yachloku based on the absence of information. It's based on what Sumchus perceives to be the fairest way of determining who should get this mamon in a case of a real suffix. In other words, Yachloku according to Sumchus is not from the perspective of the absence of raya, but that this is a bona fide psak. You know, just like we say that if Reuven comes to Shimon and he says, hey, you stole my talus, We don't believe Reuven. That's called Chazaka Kol Mashtachas Yodim Shalohu. And that doesn't create a suffix. So there the psak is a psak, the Torah's Vadai. Sukhus went a step further and he said that if it's real Maman Abutu B'Suffik, we have a psak of Vadai. And that's Yachloku. There's no need to go beyond and impose a Shmua. So then in the case of Shnai Mosin Vitalis, which is a clear-cut case of Maman Abutu B'Suffik, Sukhus would drop the requirement of a Shmua. Now here I want to share with you a Rashba. We just finished the sugya of Mekachu Memkar, in which the Gemara had Tzrichusos, that if we only had Mitzia, we wouldn't know about Mekach HaMemkar, and vice versa. The whole thesis, or the premise that underlies the sugya that we just learned, of Mitzia, of the Tzrichus of Mitzia and Mekach HaMemkar, is the concept of Horas Heter. Now the purpose of the Shvua was to get the person to admit admit the truth. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to take a Shvua shove. He's not an outright Gazlan. And that's called a Ross Heter. What goes on over here? The Gemara says, according to Sumchus, we don't need the Shvua. It's very odd, because the Gemara gave us a very solid logical reason why we do need the Shvua. The hope is that if he was Mora Hora when he had that to himself, when he grabbed onto the talus, he's gonna confess the truth under the fear of taking a Shvua. Why would Sumchus reject that? So the Rashba says the following. In the Gemara, if we only had Metzia and not Mekach HaMemkar or the reverse, Hayinu Omrim, we would have thought Shadafka Bo, and only in that case Omru Chachamim Lishava. Why? Because Yeshla Tofes, the person who grabbed onto the talus second, Yeshla Horas Heter. Whereas in the second case, whether it be Metzia or Mekach HaMemkar, She'eno Horas Heter, then Eino Nishba. Because Kevon Shu Choshud Al Gzela, if he doesn't have any Aras Heter, he's a real knapper, he's a real first class Gazlan. And Choshud Al Mamono, Choshud Al Shvuas, if he's willing to steal someone's money, then he's willing to take a Shvua Sheker. And the Mishnah wants to tell us that in both cases of Metzia and Mekach HaMemkar, there's a Ras Heter. Even though you and I would have said, well, in the case of Mekach HaMemkar, where the other person paid money for it, that's outright Gzela to take it away from him. Where's the Ras Heter? The answer is there is a Ras Heter, because as we said before, the guy's going to get his money rebated and let him buy the talus somewhere else. You and I would have said, how can you steal someone's talus? There's no way he's going to get that talus free, you know, gratis, because where are you going to find the mitzvah of a talus? But the answer is no. He says he's not losing anything in the bank, and therefore there's Oros Heter. So that's the chiddush of our Mishnah. Then in both cases, there is Oros Heter. Is Lefiz there? Lo Muvenes Kushas HaGemara Misumchas. Why? Because the Gemara allows or imposes a Chiyuv Shvua Dafka only in situations where there's Oros Heter. And therefore, we impose the Shvua in order to put the fear of Shvua into his heart. Abel B'mikra Shal Sumchas Ain Oros Heter. And therefore, how could the Gemara think that just because Sumchus in his case drops the Shvua, in Shnai Moksa Metalis he would drop the Shvua? Again, Shnai Moksa Metalis divides up into both Mitzia and Mekach HaMemkar. In those cases, Sumchus could logically embrace the Shvua because of the Ras Heter. Sumchus only made his comment and only expressed his view and dropped the Shvua in a case where there's no Ras Heter. So now he quotes the Ran. Umetaritz HaRan Shelefanenu Machlokes HaSugyos Dahainu Shasugya Liel, b'shitas Rav Papa, that's the sugya that we learned of Horas Heter, is Ladaito, according to that sugya in Rav Papa, Ainli Shava Elim Kain Yesh Horas Heter. Aval sugya Khan, he b'shitas Rav Yochanan. Hasover, again, we have to see where this Rabbi Yochanan is, but he's of the opinion Shahamishna mechayev shvua gam kishein horas heter. Rabbi Yochanan is going to say that the purpose of the shvua is to guarantee that if a person grabs someone else's talis, he will have to take a shvua, and that means he might grab someone else's talis even as a gazlan, an outright gazlan. We're not talking about a horas heter, it was a metzia. We're simply talking about a person who likes his friend's talis and he wants to steal it. Again, I don't know what he gains for that. It's a mitzvah of avera. But maybe the talis is not a talis shel mitzvah. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says we need a shvua even for a case of horas heter, when there's no horas heter. It means that Rabbi Yochanan holds chashid abamono, a person would dip his hands into someone else's pocket, steal his wallet as an outright gazlan. There's no shemitz of Horas Heter, but yet if you give him a shvua, he'll confess the truth. Why? Because the shvua is more chomer in his eyes than even gzela. Elehepach al yidei shvua yifrosh migzelas mama. So the entire sugya of Horas Heter reflects the shita of Rav Papa, that there's only a shvua shaychus when there's oras heter, and then the Gemara wants to work out what's the oras heter in both these cases of metzia and mekach u'memka. But Rav Yochanan l'shitaso holds that there's a shvua even in a gazlan, an outright gazlan case, because chashad avamona lo chashad ashvuasa, and therefore even in a case where there's no oras heter, there's going to be a shvua because he'll drop his claim, which is a totally false gzeladika claim, rather than take a shvuas sheker. So that even though Sumchus, who drops the requirement of a shvua, in a case of Moment Avutu Pesofik, even in a case where there's no Aras Heter, he is against our Mishnah the way Rabbi Yochanan would understand that Mishnah, because Rabbi Yochanan understands that there will be a shvua even in a case of an outright gazlan who has no Aras Heter, because Chashar Amona lo Chashar Ashvuas. But Sumchus says that, no. The shvua is completely out. There is no shvua. In a case of Mona Mutu B'Safek, we need Yachloku without a shvua. We're not going to enter into the question of, well, you know what? Sumchus is talking about a case where there's no Aras Heter. No, we hold that the shvua is imposed even in a case where there's no Aras Heter. And that's going to be the shita of Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says, "Lema masnisin de lo kesumchus de I kesumchus ha amar sumchus moven amuta b'sofik cholkin v'lo shvua." Says the Gemara, "I don't understand the shvua even according to the Rabbanon. Why? Because we have a case here of shnayim ochzim betalis, and Tosfos says in the beginning of the perek that the difference between our Mishnah and this sugya in Baba Basra of Hahu Arva is that here it's Ochazin. And if it's Ochazin, then we have a principle called Chazaka Kol Masha Tachas Yad Odom Shalohu. So each one is holding on to half the talis, and Tosfos understands that he has Muchzakus on half the talis. If that be the case, then there's no room for a shvua. Because basically, if I say in front of a bezin that you're holding on to my mammon, I can't be mechayev you shvua on that half of the talis that I want to get from you, and I claim it's mine. We have a principle called amotzi mechavel of a raya. If I can't bring any raya, you don't have to take a shvua. So the whole entity, the whole enterprise of a shvua in our Mishnah is difficult. This is basically the methodology of the Shas, when, for example, you quote a Braisa, Yeska Kashan and Amora from a Braisa, and then you say, oh, you understand the Braisa? You know, if you don't hold like this Amora, I'll prove to you that the Braisa makes no sense. So until you explain to me the Braisa, don't ask me any questions on the Braisa. Here on the Mishnah, the Shvua, the entity of Shvua, makes no sense. Why? Because we're talking about Ochazin. If each one is holding on to half the talus, the other one, vis-a-vis that half, is considered a motzi mechavil rai. We never found that a person who claims something that his friend is muchzak on, who could be mechayev mishmua. So what is the nature of the shmua in our Mishnah? The Gemara is now asking a very basic fundamental question about our Mishnah. After you explain to me what the nature of the shmua is, then maybe I can answer you that even Sumchus could accept our shmua. And in fact, the Gemara is now leading up, I mean, it's going to take a while till we get to Daf Gimel, but it's leading up to the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan, that this shmua is a whole unique kind of shmua that was enacted by the Chachamim in order to stop people from stealing other people's property. And it was a new enactment of a shmua. It's not a shmua in the classic sense of Moment Amutu B'Safik Cholkin B'Shmua. Enochinami, in Moment Amutu B'Safik, each one is Muchzak in the case of Shnai Muchzak B'Talas, there would be no shmua. So the Gemara says, no. I can justify the shmua without Rabbi Yochanan according to the Chacham. Hai mai. I amrit bishlema rabbanon. Hosam. Again, hosam means machle par b'chamor, or shor shenokasav para. The lo tafsi travayu. In that case, where there's no muchzakus, so what is the Gemara going to say? The Gemara is going to say, let's take a look and see where the object is to be found. Correct? Right? If you have Daf Kuf, I'm sorry, I don't have it here in front of me. The Gemara says, Lechse Bershusa Demaj.
I don't have it either.
You don't have it either. Okay, if anyone has a Gemara, Baba Metzi, open up to Daf Kuf, and you can quote the Gemara. There's something to the effect of Lechse Bershusa Demaj. Deman Koy. You have it? What does it say there, Sammy, if you don't mind? Oh, let's say b'shus the my kind one. V'havi idach hamotzi mechavel v'raya. So when did the Rabbanim say hamotzi mechavel v'raya, and there's no shvua, when the object is located in the reshus of Ploni, whether it's the Balamazik or the Balanizak, whether it's the Mocher or the Lokeach, in the case of Machlu Par B'Chamor. That's called, in the Gemara's language, the Lo Tafsi Travayim. So, if it's the Lo Tafsi Travayim, then let's see where it is. If somebody has possession, it's in his backyard, then the other one is a Motzit Mechavel of Araya. However, Hacha, here the case of Talis, Tafsi Travaya, Travaya Tafsi. How is this different? If it's Tafsi Travaya, then
how is it Tafsi Travaya? It can't be Tafsi Travaya.
Right, each one is holding on to the Talis. The question is,
he says Kula Shali.
Right, is he holding on to the entire Talis or half the Talis? That's what I don't know.
Yeah, but that doesn't change the theoretical facts. The fact is that it may belong to you.
So, Alan, how are you understanding this Gemara? The Gemara says the following. That in the case of Shar Shanokasav Poro, Machle Poro B'Chamor, in that case, we're going to take a look, and we're going to see where the animal is located. If the Vlad is in the Rishus of the Mocher,
right,
then we award it to the Mocher. If the Lekech went to... But here, we need a shvua. Why do we need a shvua here? Because tafsi shavai. What does the Gemara mean?
Why don't you say that it should be ad shavua
Eliyahu? I don't know about that. I'm trying to understand why the Gemara assumes you need a shvua. Can anybody tell me why does the Gemara say? Again, I didn't write the Gemara, so you're just as mechuyev as I am to explain the Gemara. That since it's tafsi shavayu, therefore we need a shvua. Why? Why does Tafsi Chavaya mean that we need a shvu?
Both Muzakim.
They're what were you saying?
They're both Muzakim. They're holding it.
If so.
They're not holding on to half the talus. They're holding on to the whole talus. Is that what you mean?
You can't hold on to... Yeah. Each is holding a half.
Each is holding half, but they're all
claiming. They're all claiming, so
theirs. Right, but if each is holding on to the half, then I think, tell me if I'm wrong, we should apply the principle of Motzi Mechavel Araya, which means that there's no Shvuah.
How can you do that? Who's the Motzi?
Again, if each one is holding on to half, the Motzi is the one who wants to get the other half, right?
They're both
want to get the other
they're
half.
They're both. You don't do it.
Right, so therefore we should say achloka below shvur. The Gemara is saying that whenever you apply the principle of motzi mechavel araya, there's no shvur. So why is there a shvur here?
Yeah,
right, that was the whole kash of the Gemara. Right? No, the Gemara is saying even according to Rabbanan, Elamai, let's go over the Gemara one more time. Rabbanan, let's say the author of our Mishnah is Rabbanan, then you do understand the shvur. In fact, the Gemara, Ha'amri, the Rabbanan say, in the case of Achlo Par V'chamor, etc., Ha'motzi Mechavel of Araya. So now the Gemara has to somehow backtrack and assume that Ha'motzi Mechavel of Araya doesn't apply here.
Right.
But why? I mean, the Gemara just...
The difference between class and Motzi Mechavel in this case is that when I want to get something from you and I'm not Motzi'gen at all, I don't have any power through my Dibra to Mechayev Yishvur. But when I am just equal to you, because I'm also just like you're Moksa, and even though I'm only holding half, I'm clearly considered Moksa in all of it, just like you're considered a Moksa in all of it.
Okay.
Half, then we're on equal ground.
Is that what Rabbi you were saying?
I think that's what you were trying to say.
Okay. So maybe what the Gemara means by Hacha Litravayu Tafsi, it means it's not the pshat that we understood that each one is muksak on half the talis, and therefore on the other half of the talis he's amotzi mechavel araya, because then there would be no shpur, but rather each one is considered a tofes on the entire talis.
Each one is claiming that.
Yeah, so should it be
actually. I know each one is claiming that. That's not a chiddush, but the Gemara is saying Travayu Tafsi means it's not the way you understood it that each one is muksak on half the talis.
You're on the whole.
Exactly.
Right.
Now I'll read to you three words here in the Masifta, and tell me if you find this in Rashi. He says, "Kol echad nechshav muchzak bekula."
Yeah, that's correct.
Then if that be the case, then you cannot apply a motzi mechavel araya because each one's muchzakus undermines the other one's muchzakus. So we're left with really no muzakas. So if they both have a chazaka on the entire talis, then we come to a ridiculous conclusion that there's no one who's considered muksak because they're both muksak on the entire talis. So if no one's considered muksak, then what do we do in this case? Oh, the Gemara says palgila b'shvua. Now we need some sort of a raya. Why? Because now you're claiming that you're muksak on the whole talis, but he's also claiming he's muksak on the talis. So What gives you rights to get the talis? And the answer is we're going to have to introduce a shvuah, which is going to clarify that you ain't only bar pachas michetzia. Ela iamrit sumchus. How can you square this mishnah with sumchus? I have a kal v'chomer. Hashta. Uma hasam in the case of machlu par b'chamar. Dilo tafsi travayu. And nevertheless, sumchus says that the power of the suffix is so great that it requires yachloku belishvua, right? And it's lo tafsi travayu, correct? So therefore, if, let's say, one of the two has the vlad in his backyard, Sumcha says, nevertheless, we're going to split, and it doesn't mean cut the vlad in half, but we're going to sell it and split the money. And we're not going to require shvua. How much more so if both are tafsi travayu, lo kolshkin? How much more so that sumchus would drop the requirement of a shvua? In other words, sumchus is so much a believer of yachloku that he always drops the shvua. And I'll make it a kavachomer. In the case where lo tafsi travayu, one of them has the has the animal, I call it the vlad in his backyard. Nevertheless, we're going to paskin yachloku, and we don't need a shvua. Why? Because of the suffix. The suffix itself generates this psak of what? Yachloku. We don't need any more clarifications. The situation itself proves that we have a suffix, and that's yachloku. How much more so in a case where each one is claiming kula, and therefore we don't have a tfisa, and that in the Gemara's language is called travayu tafsila. Is how much more so would Sumchus drop or omit the Shvuah? So the Gemara says, Nein, afilu temes Sumchus. When does Sumchus paskin? that Yachloku is the way to go and you don't need a Shvuah. That's only Ki Omar Sumchus B'Shema V'Shema. Avol Bari Bari Lo Omar. And now I believe what happens is that the Gemara is making a complete about face. Basically, Sumchus accepts the principle of Yachloku B'Shvuah, and he wants a Shvuah. It's impossible to impose a Shvuah in a case of Shem B'Shema, because nobody knows what's going on here. Neither the Mochin and the Loketh know at what point did the Pari give birth to the Vlah. But whenever it's possible to have a Shvuah, namely in the case of Bari Ubari, Sumchus is on board with the Chachamim that we're going to try to do it at the best option that we can to find out who's the liar, and we're going to impose the Shvuah because maybe he'll confess and he'll drop the ball. He doesn't want to get into a Shvuah shem.
By the Vlad, it's E.F. Shalabar.
None of them have a clue.
There's no possible way. So therefore, there's no Shvuah. That means just Machalik.
There isn't anyone to take a Shvuah. There's absolutely no evidence.
Well, not only is there no evidence, but you can't impose a shvuah on someone who's tiny a tiny shema. I mean, he's admitting by his own tongue that he has no clue.
That's the concept, correct?
Yeah.
But by here,
well, it was Bori and Bori. How can you give take away half of somebody's talis on the basis of a shvuah when you know that there is no evidence one way or the other? The shvuah doesn't serve as evidence. Maybe it's
going to
stop somebody.
So the riot to what you say, Alan, is Ahu Arva. Ahu Arva, since we know somebody is lying, we're going to paskin Kol Yom Gavar. So why in this case don't we paskin Kol Yom Gavar?
Why do we paskin?
I mean, maybe we should say we don't have any evidence, and therefore let them fight it out. Why are we saying Yachloku, and then we're imposing a Shvuah?
Yeah,
and
once they both swear,
we have to say Yachloku.
So why is it?
And even Sumchus would agree.
How did they become all of a sudden that the truth is that they only have a half? Why is that? Just because it took a Shvuah? Is that the truth?
They're not interested.
Well, maybe they both grabbed the talis at the same time, right? It's a very likely, I don't know, likely, but certainly a logical possibility that they both grabbed the talis at the same time. You know, if ain't a chaluki cholius emes, Rashi says ani arak tia, then we're not going to tolerate yachloku. We're going to wait till Elio comes around.
We're not talking about the sea, and we're talking about here. We're talking about the not the havamina, but.
Oh, you mean to say in the case of Mechira, why is that called a Chaluki Cholios Emes? So I think we discussed this yesterday. Didn't we come to the conclusion that maybe the Mocher didn't really make any definite decision? This is a sugya called Shnei Shtaros Hayotzin Biyom Echa. Do you remember that sugya?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? He sold the same piece of property to two people on the same day. And we're holding Ein Kosev and Shov, so there's no hour. So we don't know within that day which star came first. Now, I don't know what we're going to paskin in that case. I think the Gemara paskins in Bava Basra, that's called Shuda the Daini. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah.
I don't know what that means exactly, but something called Shuda the Daini. But if, let's say, we don't know that Sugya Bava Basra, then logically we could say that this is Yachloku. Again, it would be a Yachloku of Shema V'Shema, because each one is holding on to a shtar. We don't know. Maybe you could make it into Bari Ubari if each one claims that he got the shtar first and the other guy's lying through his teeth. I was there and I know that he, in such a case, maybe it would be Yachloku B'Shvuah. So again, the principle is the following, that if you have a Bari Ubari, and there is a possibility of a Shvuah, then Yachloku B'Shvuah is the way to go, unless you have the following situation. Either it means that no one has a Tfisa, that's the case of Ahu Arva, or if you know that someone is definitely lying through his teeth, and there's no way of reconciling the two. So in the case of talis, because there is a possibility of reconciling the two, maybe they both picked up the talis simultaneously, then we're going to apply the principle of yachloku b'shvur. In a case where we know for sure that someone's lying, we can't possibly award him, the liar, by giving him half the talis. So therefore, in a case of aniyah raktiyah, we're going to have to wait till Elio comes. I was about to say Mashiach, but Elio is before Mashiach. And in the case of Ahu Arva, there no one is Tofes. It might belong to a third party. Who knows who's going to come around tomorrow? And therefore, Bezdin would not institute neither Yachloku nor Yeimunach. Why? Because Yeimunach always implies a Vadei Rama. So wait a minute. So why is it, again, we went through this, I just want to review it in my mind, why is it that in the case of Manashlishi we say a munach, and in the case of Arva... maybe you'll argue with me, but let's assume that somebody's lying in both cases, right? Because Manashlishi means it either belongs to Reuven or Shimon, and in the case of Ahu Arva it belongs to either Reuven or Shimon. If that be the case, why do we paskin yei munach in the case of Manashlishi? Tosa says because of Vadei Ramai. And in the case of Ahu Arva, we're going to paskin kol yom gavar. Why not say yei munach at shiyov elyo? So I think the answer is because in the case of Manashlishi, we can't take it out of the hands of the Nifkat and say let them bang each other up and see who wins the battle, because we don't, they have a muchzakus through the Nifkat. Mashenkin Ahu Arva, why should we get involved in such a case? To say Yachloku, we're not going to say Yachloku because it's a Vadei Rama. To say a Munach, well, that's only in a case where we cannot take it out of the possession of the Nifkat and say, well, Mr. Nifkat, throw it out there and let these two individuals beat each other up. That's not fair. Each one has a chazaka, so why are you beating him up in order to remove his chazaka? But in the case of Ahu Arva, let them beat each other up. We don't have to get involved. Okay, fine. Now the Gemara says that in a case of Bari Ubari, even Sumchus would agree that Yachloku b'shvua. Says the Gemara says that's not so. Ula Rabba Bar Bahuna di Omar Sumchus hafilu Bari Ubari Ma'ikul Meimar. The Gemara in Hamachlif Par B'chambar is going to present the shita of Rabba Bar Bahuna, and he holds that Sumchus applies, meaning Yachloku without a Shvua, even in a case of Bari Ubari. So now we're going back to our original position in which we understand Sumchus to make a fundamental breakthrough, meaning in the sense that he's opposed to a Shvua, he's in favor of Yachloku. And if you have Mamad Amutu B'Sofeh, that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to say Yachloku, and it's not limited to the case of Machlu Par B'chamor where it's Shema V'Shema, even in the case of Bari Ubari. And once again, Sumchus is such an advocate, he's so comfortable with Yachloku that he drops the requirement of a Shvua. If that be the case, then we're really in trouble in our Mishnah, because if Sumchus insists on dropping the Shvuah, in the case of Shnai Mosim Batalis, he should drop the Shvuah as well. Why? Because this is a clear case of Bari Ubari, and since we don't know who owns the Talis, we should say Yachloku. But Sumchus in such a case is going to drop the Shvuah. Why? Because he holds that's what we do. What do we do in a case of a Suffolk Mammon? We say Yachloku, not only in a case where it's impossible to impose the Shvuah, that's Shema Shema, but says Rabbi Bar Huna, this is the fundamental breakthrough of Sumchus. He holds Yachloku, and he wants Yachloku. He doesn't want a Shvuah, he wants Yachloku. Even in the case where they could be, we could impose the Shvuah, it's Bari Umbari. In our Mishnah, therefore, in the case of Shnai Mosim Batalis, Sumchus would clearly say, Yachloku, we don't know who owns the Talis, so split the Talis. So the Gemara says, "Afilu tema sumchus Now this is a turning point in the sugya. You'll have to help me with this. This is called Drora Devamona. Afilu Tema Sumchus at Mishnah is Sumchus. When does Sumchus drop the requirement of a Shvuah? That's only Ki Amar Sumchus Hecha Deika Drora Devamona. And therefore Sumchus would agree that we need a Shvuah. Now the Gemara is going to backtrack, but I just want to understand the halamina of the Gemara. Gemara thinks that in a case where there's, if there is Dror D'Mamona, Sumchus advocates Yachloku without a Shvuah, but if there's no Dror D'Mamona, he will agree that we need a Shvuah. Hence our Mishnah could reflect the sheet of Sumchus because there's no Dror D'Mamona. So first of all, what is Dror D'Mamona? So if you remember, we quoted this Tosis here. Dibra Masel Hecha De'ika Dror D'Mamona Pirish Below Tani Yoseim Yesh Sofik LeBezdin. In other words, just take a frame, you know, take a picture of what's going on over here. A person was Machle Parbachamor, and there was a birth, a labor, right? So the para gave birth to a vlad. Well, who owns this vlad? We don't know. It all depends, right? There are two locations. There's a place where they did the kinyan, and there's a place where the animal was born. We don't know if it was born before the kinyan or after the kinyan. That's a Dror D'Mamona. Already, there's an objective suffix. It belongs to one of these two. So Sumchus says in such a case, Yachloku, without a Shvuah. When does Sumchus wave the flag of Yachloku, and he feels that Yachloku is the appropriate psak, and there's no need to add anything beyond Yachloku, that's when there's a Dror D'Mamona. The Dror D'Mamona, in a sense, creates a vadai on behalf of each one of them. So how do you reconcile two vadais on one piece of property, or in this case, on one vlad? The answer is, we're going to have to split it, and that's what we ought to do. Tzedek tzedek tirdof. That's the best way of meeting out justice, by giving each one half. Because we don't know, there's no way, there's no photograph here, there's no video camera that can tell you which came first, the label or the kid.
It's an absolute suffix.
It's an absolute suffix, I love
that. It's an absolute suffix, and that one is
and an absolute suffix, there's a suffix to Bezdin, it's objective, it predates the Tainus, below Tani Yusein, it's suffix to Bezdin, Yachloku, here Sumchus advocates Yachloku, that's the appropriate sock, fits like a glove. But in a case of Lav Dror D'Mamona, right? We don't have a suffix, and it's only because each one tainus. Then we're going to say Yachloku Bishvu, because no one really has a clear cut claim to the object, because it's only based on his claim. The only thing that bothers me here, Rabosai, is that each one is holding on to the talus. Why doesn't that create a Dror D'Mamona? That I'm not sure about. Why is there no Dror D'Mamona Mitzia? Yeah,
because neither one of them had it before. I mean, the Dror means is that someone's going to suffer a loss as a result of this, but since neither one of them had it before.
Ah, you mean it's the old Sfar of, it's like new property.
Yeah. By Mecca, Mecca, that wouldn't be
clear. Yeah, but Mecca from Memca, it's not
Yeah, you can get stuck in Mecca from Memca. Why is this not a Dror D'Mamona? Again, let's work this out. We're saying
Dror D'Mamona means that there's no possibility of a bureau. Here, there is a possibility.
Through what? Through a Shvuah?
Yeah, because a Shvuah may impact on the liar.
Yeah, but keep in mind, Rabbi, the Gemara is holding now, like Rabbi Barav Huna, the Gemara is trying to, and he says right. even though it's Bari Ubari, so it means each one is claiming I was there and I saw exactly when the Vlad was born. And it's gone.
No, that's a Shem of a Shem. There's no way of proving that. There's absolutely no way
of maybe you're right, there's no way of proving it, but I wouldn't say that there's, you know, that there's no claim. I mean, each one is claiming Vada.
Forget the claim. You can't prove the claim. There's no way that here, by Talis, you could prove it through a possibility of proving it through a Shvuah. The guy may... The liar may retract.
And why don't you say the same thing?
If you're not a liar, let the both swear.
I'm not sure I understand. We're talking about Bari and Bari.
There's no problem.
Each one is saying the other guy's a no good liar. Why not impose a Shvuah? Again, if you're talking about...
Where?
Again, we're going according to Rav Huna. Rav Baruch Huna is assuming that it's bari bari. Each one is claiming I was there at the place. He's a no good liar, and I know right.
No, we made a distinction. There it's Shema B'Shema, and here it's
again. You're backtracking. You're rewinding. The Gemara now is unhappy because of Rav Baruch Huna. The whole kasha of this Gemara, which Gemara is trying to reconcile, is according to Rav Baruch Huna. Each one is claiming I was there at the spot. And I know. So why not take a shvuah? And the Gemara's only answer is that it's Dror D'Vamona. I don't know how it's more Dror D'Vamona in the case of Machlok Par B'Chamar than it is in the case of Shnayim Ochsin B'Talos. So that's where I want to. Do you have a pencil? I just would like to. Okay.
I only have a pencil.
It makes sense.